about all order volume conjecture.
So thanks a lot for the invitation. I'm happy to be here again. This is the first time I talk on this seminar. When I was a student, I never talked on this seminar.
Well,
maybe now you will realize why, but okay. So this is about all order volume conjecture for closed hyperbolic tree manifold. Okay. So the plan is the following. First, I will make some review of the volume conjecture for knot complements in ST, and its generalizations. Then I will do some review of Chern-Simons theory, and in particular I want to talk for the case that's not so well known, which is when the group is complex and non-compact. So in particular I want to talk about this case. After that we will put these two together, and then we will see what's the actual. In order to talk about the generalization of the volume conjecture, I need to introduce this guy. So the generalizations are some type. After that, I will review some construction called then filling, that probably many people here know very well, then filling of this type of manifolds, of knot complements. This will give us the closed tree manifolds that we want to study. I mean, this is the family of the closed tree manifold we want to study. So I will review this. And finally, we will go back to SL to see Chern-Simons theory on the closed tree manifolds. We put everything together, and this will give this all order volume conjecture. So that's the plan. So we'll start with boundaries, and I will go to the case without boundaries. So let me now start reviewing this volume conjecture. By the way, I count until like you said 8 p.m.
No, that's not correct.
five. Okay. All right, so what's the volume conjecture? So let's start considering this tree manifold.
Sorry, 8 p.m. Eastern is okay.
now it makes sense. So consider some knot complements. In our talk, all the times we will talk about hyperbolic knot complements. So everything is hyperbolic in this talk. Something can be generalized to non-hyperbolic, but the methods we have are very much ad hoc for hyperbolic case. So there is a well-known topological invariant of this called the Jones polynomial. So the Jones polynomial is this interesting objects that depends on some formal parameter Q. And it's, as the name said, it's a polynomial on Q and Q minus 1. So this is my convention. Usually in the books, it's a polynomial on Q to the half. But here I'm using the square of that. So it's really a polynomial. And one way to define it is by this Kane, but so-called Kane relations, which are these ones. So you just write a two-dimensional projection of the node and apply this, and you can get this one way to get the node's polynomial.
Is there a Q to the minus 2?
No. So that's what's usually known as the Young polynomial. You can consider also the colored Young's polynomial, which is related to representations of SU2. So representations of SU2, these are labeled by some integer n. N equal 1 is the trivial in my convention. Colored Young polynomial, essentially, you can derive it recursively from this, actually, if you use properties such that etc. I will not write all the properties, but there is like two or three properties that allows you to define this recursively by knowing these ones. And of course, one thing you need to do is for normalizing. Of course, I have to tell you what's the Young polynomial of this guy, which. So it's the same for the colored one. Okay, so once I define the colored one, it's now parameterized by two integers. Or let's say the integer, and so far I haven't said anything about this, so it's a formal parameter. So this again is some polynomial on Q, Q minus 1. All right. So now we can state the volume conjecture.
Sorry, can I ask?
Yes, absolutely.
What does Ri stand for? The lower index. What is that? Okay, and we sum up over. What do we sum up over?
These are some properties. These are properties. These are defining properties of JM. This is one of them. There are more properties. If you want, I can write them all.
No, I'm saying that there is a sum over i's, and so the i's.
Yeah, Ri, if you want.
It's a decomposition of the irreducible representation.
Okay, that's it.
So you have a reducible representation on the left and irreducible ones on the right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you have sum of representations, they decompose. It's just. Okay, so we have this guy. So usually it's good to define the normalized guy. this one. And then the volume conjecture for not complements, for hyperbolic not complements, which was developed by Kaschaev, mostly by Kaschaev and the Murakamis. So there's two Murakamis. Okay. Jun Murakami, now I don't remember the other. Is the following. So take this limit of this guy, evaluated at a special value for Q. And we will see that these special values becomes they will appear once and once again in this talk. So take this root of unity. Divide by n. So everything is just n. And if you take this limit, this the conjecture is this goes like the complexified hyperbolic volume of m. So this is the hyperbolic volume, and this is the so-called Chern-Simons invariant. So three manifolds have this very nice property that the volume is actually a topological invariant. So that's a volume conjecture. But it has its generalizations. So one thing I can do is to write the following. I can take the following limit. We can take this limit. We can take k to infinity. We can define q now to the pi pi or k. Take k to infinity, n to infinity. But we keep this ratio fixed. So we define a variable u, which is good to be like this. And this is fixed. Then one can show by examples if you want that this object has some expansion. We take this limit, has some expansion that looks like this. Constant term, and there is a series of other terms here that depends on you. Okay.
What is H, what is H bar?
Well, one second. I put at this. Okay. This actually also depends on you. So it's no longer, that one is just a number, now it's some parameter, there is some parameter here, some extra parameter. So this u come up everywhere. This term don't worry too much, it's called like log of h bar, it's just an overall.
But your q has no dependence on n at all, so something's missing. The q you define, something's missing. It's a pi over k.
Sorry, because I can't say what is h bar.
No, the definition up there, q.
U, the ratio u is fixed.
But the q, well, the definition of q is e to the pi over k. There are no dependence of anything on n or u. Okay, that's a different q than the other q.
I mean, you can think of this limit as q going to 1. And q to the n. that's an alternative way.
Okay, but I was confused that you wrote that take q equals e power I over k.
But he's studying the n of kq. So there's an n and there's a q, and the q is...
Right.
Oh,
right.
Oh, this...
and it's in a limit where n over k is fixed.
Okay, I'm fine, but that's something, okay. Seems to be a different version that... Okay.
I mean, the only thing I'm using different from the literature is the normalization. This usually there's a 2 pi r here. So you can find that this you can show that there is this expansion. If you know some physics, you know by Witten's work that John's polynomial is related to Chan-Simons theory partition function on not complement. So and with Grace Rubes U2, so you may ask, well, thus is a physics also a physics interpretation of this guy. So before coming to the physics interpretation of this two expansion, I will put them on the same framework. First, I need to talk about Chan-Simons theory. Okay. So I need to do some review of Chan-Simons. So Chan-Simons theory is some topological field theory, and it's defined. I can define it if I give you the following data. So I need to take a gauge group, which I will take it to be. In this case, I will take it to be SL, or for most of this talk, it will be SL2C. You can do SLNC, but it's in order to make our life simpler, we will just use SL2C. And it's better to start with this one than if you want to use a compact Lie group. You will see it's very simple to specialize to that. But this one, it's better if I review this one because this theory is less known. So we consider this gauge group and some principal G bundle over M. Okay, so gauge group, of course I need M, some G manifold. And you have some principal G bundle, but for all the effects here, this thing, we will take it just to be trivial. So there is a connection here, which is just a one form with values on the Lie algebra, a one form on F, not trivial. And the Chan-Simons functional is this thing. And you may already know. So this is it. And the partition function of this theory, what physicists are interested in, is defined the following way. So I define the Chan-Simons action just this way. So that's the same, but evaluated at the conjugate. And T and T tilde, in principle, these are complex numbers. So what happened here? The partition function for this gauge group of M is just the integral over connections on EG, which we identify this way, modulo gauge transformations. with some ill-defined measure of this. Okay? So I'm modding out by all gauge transformation, including the topological, the ones that are not topologically trivial. So that thing you can check is not invariant on the ones that are topologically not trivial. Therefore, there is a quantization of this T and T tilde if we want a gauge invariant theory. This must take this form, where K must be an integer, but S is unconstrained. So that's the first difference from the compact group that you may be used already, where there is only a level. Here we have this extra guy. If you want, for the compact case, for example, GSU2, the partition function takes the same, essentially this form. Over the same space. So as I said, these things are ill-defined because you don't know what to do with the measure. But physically, the work of Witten in 1998 said, at least if you believe some physics here, you can take what we define as the partition function on an odd complement to be this one. Where this is integrated over S3, but you insert a Wilson line, a Wilson loop around the knot. So Wilson loop is no other thing on the representation R. It's no other thing than the trace over R of the holonomy around the knot of A. Okay? So this thing, if you compute it, if you believe, as I said, some things, and you go and compute this thing, this is conjectured to be equal to the colored Jones polynomial. What is n is this R. I'm thinking of an irreducible representation of the knot, and Q is related with this level. You may think this thing is related because of this with that, so then why I'm talking about the SLN SL2 case. But actually, now I will show you that, well, I will present the result, that actually this expansion is related with with this one, with the case of SL2C. In a very beautiful way, and this by an argument by Sergei Kukov, 2003, where it says that I can take this guy. Over an odd complement, and perform that integral, but I need to impose, here we need to impose boundary conditions, because we have boundaries here. So there's two ways that we had, in this case, there's two ways we can arrive to Young's polynomial. One way is we take this on a string and we insert this holonomy operator, or we could have alternatively just forget about this and do the integral over the knot complement here. Right. Sounds much harder, but you can do that in principle. But in that case, you cannot just do it like this. You have to put boundary conditions. You have to say how the fields, how the connections behave in the boundary torus. And one way to say how, since it's a flat connection, is what you have to, you can specify the holonomy around one of the cycles. Since the gauge group is compact here, the holonomy is quantized. Therefore, you have, again, an integer. And, okay, so nothing is lost, completely equivalent. For the case of SL2, representations of SL2 are not as nice sometimes, so they are infinite dimensional ones. So the best approach we have here is by using the boundary conditions. I'm not sure if an equivalent expression with an insertion of a Wilson line can be used. I mean, that's a bit more unclear for the case of SL2 or for the case of non-compact gauge. SLR, it will have the same problem. So we need to impose boundary conditions, which means you take the holonomy around the boundary cycle. Gamma M of A to be conjugate to some element on SL2C. So conjugate to something like, let's say, e to the u, e to the minus u, very suggestive. And gamma m, usually I will call this is the meridian cycle. So when I have this, there is a canonical way to assign my cycles at the boundary for meridian and longitudinal. That is meridian. So every time you see m, it's because I have that in mind. So this can be computed in principle. However, you can write it in terms of some integrals. It's very hard. But if you want to get something out of it, what we know how to do very well in physics is perturbative expansion. So even though a non-perturbative version of this may be ill-defined, even if you manage to get from that abstract thing to an ordinary integral, definitely you can do perturbative expansion. Plus, you can forget about many problems that come from convergence, etc. So in order to do perturbative expansion, I have to choose a point. So this is a saddle point. So it's a saddle point, which is it's a flat connection on M, where M, now this is M. And if you do this expansion, there's many ways to do it, or at least for hyperbolic knot complements, as I said. This exactly these four. Where where h bar is something called 2 pi I b square, where b is related with s. There is some linear relation between them. I mean, there is some relation.
Should your index to be m instead of h bar?
I'm sorry. So you can do this, and it's very suggestive you have the same form as this one.
But there's a reason why the log term drops? Well, there's a difference. There's no log term.
Oh, there is a difference. No, there is a log. Okay. Sorry. No, the log term is there. You can see the log term is there. So let me first set the parameters, because there's something I have to do. So this thing, you can do it, where h bar is this, b is related to s, and you set actually k to 1. This k. So this k, you set it to 1. And you just keep this guy, and take, this is the limit when, maybe I'm cluttering too much here, but when b goes to 0. Okay? So this can be computed. There is a very explicit paper by Vukov, Dimofte, Sagier, and Lennertz from 2009, where they do this computation very explicitly using something called state integral models.
What does it mean that B is related to S?
It means that the formula we don't know.
Yeah. I just wanted to go.
I think I knew that.
Okay. Okay. So I think I put everything more or less together. So these two guys are related. The idea is you have to find the correct saddle point. That's the only thing, which is a bit tricky to define now in this general case with the U parameter, but you can also take, we can also take U equal to I pi. And recover a generalized version. Not recover, but get a generalized version of the volume conjecture I put at the beginning, right? So if you take U equal I pi, then there is a very clear, there is only one saddle point that corresponds to the complete hyperbolic metric on this manifold. And you just expand around that point, and you will get, as the first term, this guy, that now with the U equal I pi, which means the hyperbolic volume, the topological invariant.
Okay, now I'm confused. So in general for U, that volume is not really the volume of...
No.
It's a generalization of a volume of...
Exactly. It's some parameterized guy. Yeah. Sometimes this, with the U, people call parameterized.
Okay.
Volume conjecture. Well, I've seen like two people that call it that way. Maybe I'm biased, but yeah, there is definitely that's only one unique point that's complete and non-degenerate metric. So this is how we put everything kind of together from this SL2C John Simons theory. So now, this was all a bit of a longer view of volume conjecture for the case of not complements. I will use many of the objects I had already used for the case of the, now we move to the volume conjecture. for closed hyperbolic tree manifold. Okay. So before saying which tree manifolds, let me start introducing some mathematical invariants that will be the ones here. And also let me motivate this, because it doesn't work as straightforward as you may know, as you may think. So far, when this was a not complement, we have Young's polynomial, which is a very nice mathematically well-defined object, if you don't believe on the Chan-Simons mumbo-jumbo. But what happens when we have the closed guys? So when we have the closed guys, there is something called Recheti-Quinturaev invariant. That was 91. Many other people work on this around the same time, but this is one of the most famous ones. Well, they essentially follow Witten's paper very closely and define and construct a well-defined mathematical invariant based, this is based on quantum group techniques. So I cannot describe you in detail how they did it, but this is related with this quantum group. And the only reason I'm writing this is because you can see these quantum groups are parameterized. There is some Q parameter here, so that's how they get the Q parameter. But there is something funny happening. So this RT invariant, let me write it like this, TSU2, and you will see why. This is SU2 of a manifold, now a closed manifold, it's only parameterized by a single integer. So let me explain. This is again a polynomial here. But if we want a topological invariant, we cannot keep Q to be a formal parameter. We need to take Q to be this primitive root of unity. Where R is just an integer. It has to be higher than 3 for some reasons. But that doesn't matter too much. I mean, the important thing is now we are constrained to use this Q. So you may think, okay, why not taking now this R to be very large? And if you do that, you will fail miserably, because there is something called asymptotic expansion conjecture on Witten's paper. You can find this on Witten's paper originally, and he's always right. He said that this thing actually, if you take R very large, this actually grows as R to the power. It's like a polynomial expansion. So it doesn't work. So we can go all home now, or I will tell you what really works. So there is another very closely related invariant defined by Liporish, and also it appears on a paper by Kirby and Melvin. So, as we saw before, the Jones polynomial can be, I mean, I can take this Q formal and I can evaluate it on any root of unity I want. But in this case, I just cannot. So what's, it would be nice to have a, to extend it to a different root of unity. And you can do it, but it's not so trivial. So there is another invariant that I don't know if I will have time to demystify it, but maybe. But there is another invariant that I will suggest to denote tau of SO3, or at least that's how it's sometimes denoted in the literature, of M. And it's also, again, it's a polynomial on Q, Q minus 1, but now Q is the following. It's e, this is only well defined when this is e to the 2 pi r, and r is odd. And also, it keeps, it does satisfy that. So, as you expect, if you take this guy and just by brute force you put r to the half of something, it won't work. Did you have to completely, this, the definition is different. So very recently, the some mathematicians, Chen and Yang, 2015, showed the following extremely interesting property. I mean, they didn't show, actually, no. They have overwhelming numerical evidence, let's say. So numerically, they checked. So this is a numerical check. So there is this conjecture. So the conjecture is the following. If you take this guy, so if you take this guy, now things work. Now this goes like the hyperbolic body. So that's the conjecture on that paper. And you can actually then play the same game as before, and this thing moreover grows, has the same type of expansion as before, that has the case of an odd complement. So now this are just numbers, and this h bar is just 2 pi I over r. So another question is, what's the physics behind this one? Is there any physical partition function that can give me now this expansion? So, of course, the answer will be yes. So in the following 15-something minutes, I will explain for which manifolds does this work, and why, what is this physics invariant that you may guess is related to SL2C and Simon. So first, let's define the three manifolds we use. So which three manifolds? So which are the ones we use to check this conjecture? this one. So we focus on the case where these are these then feelings. So this PQ is some PQ then feeling. Such that M is hyperbolic. So we don't want to lose hyperbolicity when we do this filling. That's important. So what is this in case for people, that if you are not familiar with what is the them filling, like me, then what it is just you just take a solid torus and you glue to here, such that this cycle is identified. With the contractile cycle. Here. So that's my working definition. So for those cases. Actually, this TR of SO3 has a very nice form. So let's take this case, for example. I will not write everything, but let me mention that this guy now, there is some factor here. That depends on R, it's just some exponential. But the important thing is here, there is a sum from n equal to 0, R to the minus 2 of, again, some number, an, R, times the Young polynomial. So the reason I'm writing this is just to make clear that this mysterious invariant I wrote before, for these cases, it has very concrete expression in terms of the Young's polynomial of the knot complement. So everything is very, very computable at this point. But now, what's the physics? Where's the physics here? All right. So a bit of motivation, if you want. So we can compute this guy. So the same situation where k was 1, we have this parameter b, but we know it also will depend on the boundary conditions, right? I mean, there is a dependence on some parameter we call u before. So this guy can be interpreted, if you want, as a wave function this way. You can imagine this to be like a product of wave function. So this is just as you see in quantum mechanics. I can change the cycle where I specify the holonomy at the boundary, that completely valid, that will be a change of polarization, depending what I call, essentially what I call momentum and what I call position. Okay, I'm calling you the position. So this is it. So then if I want this guy, on this manifold now, I can say formally this will be like this. Whatever this guy is, this acting on this. And what is this? So phi is an element of SL2C. And phi is the operator associated to this change of polarization. So that's very formal. And of course I can insert identities and do like this. So the point is, this guy I know, because I have techniques to compute this, which I don't know if I will be able to say anything, or maybe some words. But this guy I know. I have techniques to compute, as I said, this guy. I can write it in terms of a very concrete integral, just from the gluing data that I can get from Snappy database or anything like that. This guy here, this acting on this is a change of polarization. I also know how to do that. I mean, because basic quantum mechanics, if you want, at this point. I know how to write this guy. So the only mysterious one is what is this? What's the partition function for this very, very simple three manifolds? It's certainly just an unknot. So this was very elusive, but very recently in the physics literature, Dongming Gang, one of my collaborators and other people, wrote this guy, have an expression for this, and it's a very simple kernel. So you can compute this whole thing at this point. And if you are curious how this looks like, I can show you later, or I can show you now, but schematically the way you compute these things is this guy. Let's say U for this K equal 1 and B. This guy is some integral of a series of these quantum dilogaries. So there is a quadratic factor here.
So this is just a quadratic factor. This is just quantum. The logarithms is a very nice function. And this A, B, and C, and D is the gluing data. So what you do is you take this hyperbolic manifold and you decompose it in ideal tetrahedron. This is like an ideal triangulation. And this thing, of course, has some gluing data. And this encoding this matrix that are, if you are familiar with tree manifolds, this is this Neumann. It's like, yeah. Matrix. So this just to show this guy is very concrete, and the other guy is also very 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 concrete, but if I write it will take too much time, but the other guy have even a simpler form. I mean, this partition function, I mean, it's something like Finch. Like, it's very similar to the one you expect from the classical, if you know the one, the classical Chen Simons.
This integral, does this one really converge?
Very good. So very good. Of course, some cases. Yeah, there is work on defining this thing non-perturbatively, meaning putting the contours here. Of course, I was this was a very smart move not to put where the integral
Law. That's what I would do.
Yeah. So, no, in general, we don't know. In some cases, we know. If you do perturbation theory, of course, you don't need to know. You only care about critical points. So having this and having this, you can get this one. So let me just, too short, so let me just call this set M sub P. So you can take set B M around, again, the complete hyperbolic metric or flat connection, and this will go again like this. Now these guys are again just numbers, and there is this h bar to the n, where h bar here. And okay, I erase it. But of course, as you expect at this point, this is the conjecture of myself. Long mean myself and Masahito Yamasaki, that we did just a few months ago. This coincides with the with this one. From this guy. We did identification of H bar here, the same H bar I put before that I erased. So, yeah, of course, we are physicists, so we don't have a proof, but we have a lot of evidence.
We have to check on something.
Yeah. No, that's why I said we have evidence. We check it for various examples, like figure eight, not.
Do they work at all? For all the circular figure eight, do they work? Or we just check one of them?
We check like for the these Weeks manifolds, the Whitehead. Whitehead sum, we check the figure eight knot and some other knots after filling up. So for the figure eight, it seems to work for all the fillings that are hyperbolic.
That's a proof or just
no? There's no proof, of course. Yeah. I mean, there's no proof here. Well, also there's no proof on the original math.
No, I think there is one. there's a rumor Osuki has approved for all the inserts.
Oh, I have that preprint.
Oh, you have that? Okay.
Yes. But I'm being recorded, so I shouldn't say that. Oh, yeah, so that's okay. That's a sort of conjecture. Basically, I can't.
Okay. We'll stop here.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions?
I do have one. So how hard to have this convergence for this quantity? Is it solid torus in a product? You said it's simpler, so.
Yeah, I can write it for you.
Is a finite dimensional integral?
It's basically not even an integral.
Oh, nothing. What is it?
It's not even an integral, it's already. We have to be careful with this, but. Yeah, so okay, I will have to check. But. This guy, it has like a Gaussian factor, and it has like some other coefficient here, x, and it has something like sinh. I will have to check this one because I wrote one here, but I think it's after I do the integration against this guy, so I don't. But it takes a form like this. But yeah, it's not even an integral. It's really simple.
Any geometric or physical meaning for those other coefficients?
Ah, good question. It's a good question because actually no, but except for the first one, for the not the log one, but the constant term. Part of the conjecture, also like we can say conjecture prime, because it's really a bit. Cannibalizing on some other conjectures. So if you take this guy, this one is this Rademeister torsion. Part of it is like that. So, in the one at the beginning on the not complement, this was already conjecture that this term is the torsion, and this was checked by like Garufalidis and Dimoff in like I don't know like every single not complement that like 15,000 or something like that they could get from Snappy. So So that's a conjecture still. There's no proof. So in our case, what you get if you do the computation is essentially the same, exactly the same factor that they have, with an additional thing there. That if you go to the literature, is exactly what it makes for the torsion of the guy after the surgery. So it kind of comes for free in that sense. There's not much work there. For the rest of the invariants, not even on the case of not complements, there is any geometrical interpretation.
Any more questions? Let's thank Mauricio again. So I'm going to take him to dinner. If somebody would like to join, please let me know.